Good morning. Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellefson Show. I sincerely appreciate you tuning in. If you miss any of the segments during the course of the 4.5 hours of Programming Gold, you can always go out to WSAU.com and they are all podcasted for your listening enjoyment. Speaking of listening enjoyment, I am delighted to have joining me this morning on the phone, via phone, Luis Valdez. He's the national spokesman and the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. He's going to share his assessment of the Gruesome Newsom, I like to call him, versus Governor DeSantis debate. Good morning, Luis. How are you?
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be on. Thanks for what you do.
Well, thank you for joining me. Thanks for what you do. I brought you on through the board so you could at least hear our weather forecast for today, and I'm sure you're happier, much happier to be where you are in Florida than where I am, where it's 30 degrees in Wisconsin.
It is a cold and balmy 65 degrees right now here on the in the peninsula, and you know we're freaking out because we actually have to wear socks with our sandals. It's just atrocious.
Oh my gosh, I'm weeping for you on the inside. I'll send you a case of Kleenex to so that you can cope with it. But no, thank you again for joining me. Let's start just talk a little bit about Gun Owners for America, your mission, obviously, and why. Why it was important that we discuss today the marked differences between California Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Gun Owners of America is very simple. We're a national organization, and we are a no-compromise organization. And that means that we will not betray or absolve the Second Amendment in any way, shape, or form. It is an inalienable right that belongs to all Americans, and we will fight to preserve it and expand it and restore it in places that it has been abused. And sadly, that's a number of places, especially in California.
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at this graphic. California is ranked number one, the most restrictive gun law, and they have had more mass shootings than Florida has. And Florida ranked number 19, interestingly, most restrictive gun laws. I'm surprised to hear that, frankly.
Yeah, it's that graphic was very interesting. That was put out by Every Town for Gun Safety, an anti-gun organization. And that was specifically brought up during the debate by the debate's moderator, Sean Hannity. And of course, Gavin Newsom wore it like a crown, proudly proclaiming how California is the most anti-gun state in the nation. But what's interesting with that is that those anti-gun policies, in no point have they reduced crime. It's the exact opposite. We keep hearing nothing but reports coming out of California where you have businesses having to put everything behind plexiglass barricades because of mass shoplifting sprees, where you have businesses literally shutting down locations because of crime, where you have citizens who are afraid to walk their own sidewalks wearing their jewelry or fashionable clothing because they're afraid of being mugged. Now, I'm sorry, that doesn't happen in Florida. We don't have that fear in Florida. I can walk down the street and I don't have to worry about being mugged for two reasons. One, I'm able to exercise my Second Amendment rights and defend myself. But more importantly, we don't have a revolving door prison system in which hardened criminals are constantly let loose out on the street while the law-abiding are prosecuted by the very system that is supposed to put bad people behind bars. We don't have that in Florida, unlike California.
Well, thank God. I mean, you're very fortunate. I think with regard to this, the debate in itself, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about how gun control really has, in many cases, has the opposite effect that the left would claim they are trying to achieve.
Well, gun control is an abject failure for multiple reasons. And from my 15-year experience as a law enforcement officer, I can tell you why. Criminals are criminals because they break the law. Every anti-gun policy, every gun control law that has been passed, gun-free zones, permitting schemes, restrictions, magazines ban, firearm bans, all of that doesn't work because criminals just laugh at it and go like, oh, okay, you know, I'm breaking one law already to commit robbery or burglary or rape or arson or theft. So who cares? I mean, let's look at it from a logical standpoint. Murder has been illegal since the time of Hammurabi had it written on stone tablets, yet people still commit murder to this day. Do you think a murderer, do you think a domestic violence abuser, do you think a sexual predator is going to worry about some sign somewhere that says, oh, I can't carry a gun here? No, they don't care. It actually makes their job easier because they know my potential targets as a criminal are disarmed. And that's the honest truth.
Well, and I mean, I guess it's frustrating because I do see those signs. You know, I actually see those signs when I walk into certain businesses in even in our community. And I think to myself, boy, am I, and I really do believe that I'm less safe in anywhere where it's posted that there potentially is no one caring to protect the good guys from the bad guys. And I mean, it's really just a beacon that signals to a criminal that they could potentially pull off a crime if they themselves are carrying a gun.
Very much so. That's all it's advertising. Hey, all of our patrons here are disarmed because, again, only the law abiding follows gun control laws. Criminals don't. We've seen numerous examples of it. A horrible example of it in Florida was the Parkland shooting. You had a known troublemaker who had over 30 points of contact with the Broward County Sheriff's Office go on to a school, which is a gun-free zone, mind you. It didn't stop him, and he committed murder. But, again, that shows gun control doesn't work because you had staff and teachers that were disarmed. If they were armed, possibly they wouldn't have to use their bodies as human shields to protect the kids under their care. Instead, they could have shot back and put down that mass shooter. But that's not what you have happening. That's not what you have happening under gun control policies. And Florida and California are vastly different in that regard. Florida is moving towards enlightenment in restoring Second Amendment rights. Now, Florida isn't perfect, mind you. We're the only Republican state in the country that has an open carry ban. We're also the only Republican state that currently bans anyone under the age of 21 from legally purchasing or carrying a firearm. So we're not great, but we're doing much better than we were a couple of years ago. And most of those faults as for why we're not advancing on gun rights doesn't lie on the feet of Governor DeSantis. It lies on the feet of our Republican-led legislature, which for the most part is squishy and anti-gun. Governor DeSantis has publicly stated he supports open carry and would like it legalized. He would have liked to repeal the Parkland gun control bill passed by Republicans in 2018. But again, that comes down to the legislature. Going to Governor Newsom, though, Newsom, he doesn't make statements that he wants to expand and restore the rights of Second Amendment rights to Californians. Newsom does the opposite. He says he wants to further disarm more Californians and restrict their rights.
Well, and I'm sure you follow this. This is from the Wall Street Journal. California will become the first state in the nation to impose an excise tax on gun and ammunition sales under a measure that he signed into law in the last couple of weeks. And this is starting next July. The state will collect an 11% tax on retail sales of guns, gun parts, and ammunition. What kind of message does that send to the criminal in California?
Well, it sends to the criminals, who cares? It's not like they're paying taxes right now.
Right.
But that's the reason why organizationally GOA is suing California. We just filed another lawsuit against California for that and a whole bunch of other reasons. California, under Gavin Newsom's leadership and Democratic leadership, has basically thrown the Second Amendment and the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling into the trash. When SCOTUS ruled in NYSERDA v. Bruin, carrying and owning a firearm belongs both inside and outside the home as an inalienable right, and you can't do a convoluted may-issue permitting scheme. It has to be shall-issue. California decided, you know what, fine. We can't do that. We're going to rewrite it. Instead of just being may-issue, okay, fine. We'll issue you a permit if you meet all the criteria. We're just going to make the criteria as horrendously horrible as possible, including having to get a psychological evaluation done. I'm sorry, does an individual have to get a psychological evaluation done to exercise their First Amendment rights? No. Do they have to pay exorbitant fees to exercise their First Amendment rights? No. Do they have to do a 16-hour class to practice their freedom of religion and freedom of speech? No. And is most of the state now declared an anti-free speech zone? No. But that's what California did for gun rights. You have to get a psychological evaluation. You have to do a 16-hour class. And most of the state of California has now been declared a gun-free zone to make it to where even if someone does get a permit to carry, they can't carry in most places.
Gosh. I mean, this is somewhat of a rhetorical question, but I would encourage you to respond accordingly. What would the United States look like under a president? God forbid, perish the thought, under a President Gavin Newsom.
Well, I could tell you what it would look like. It would look like California. It would probably be covered in feces. It would probably be singing the wonderful hymns to Xi Jinping of Communist China, and it would probably be making bilateral trade agreements with Communist Cuba. I mean, look, my family fled communism in 1961 from Cuba, and 90 miles off my state shores here of Florida, there's the totalitarian hellscape where people don't have individual liberties and freedoms. That's called communism. That's called Cuba. That's what Gavin Newsom wants. That's what Gavin Newsom celebrates. I mean, he cleaned up San Francisco of crime and bums and feces when communist dictator Xi Jinping from China came to visit. But he didn't do that any other point during his administration's time when the residents of San Francisco, the business owners, the taxpayers, the families were saying, hey, we are being swarmed with crime. We are being swarmed with pestilence. We're literally being swarmed with feces on the street. And yet he didn't clean it at any point for the actual there. He did it to impress a communist dictator. That tells you what he thinks of the American people, and that tells you where America would be under his leadership if he ever becomes president. God help us.
Well, and there were many zingers, I would say, between DeSantis and Newsom during that debate, and I think one of it was an interesting story about DeSantis actually meeting Newsom's father-in-law, which is kind of a curious story. I mean, a true story. And the story goes that he stated that he'd moved from California to Florida, and he did intentionally because he couldn't stand living in that blue state any longer. And then said, by the way, I'm Gavin Newsom's father-in-law. Talk a little bit about the exchange between DeSantis and Newsom when they were talking about, when Gavin Newsom was the mayor of San Francisco, and just what resulted and what has resulted after I don't know, the Newsom stain on that once beautiful city.
Well, what's happened is very simple. San Francisco used to be one of the jewels of America. It was a place where literally it was considered paradise. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. The weather was perfect. The geography was perfect. The scenery was perfect. I mean, you know, people loved it. And now everyone is fleeing it because either it's ungodly expensive to live there because of taxes and insane policy, or it's just a crime-ridden hellscape. And a lot of the big people that built up San Francisco into what it was at one point, they have moved to Florida. And they've moved to Florida because they don't want to live under what Gavin Newsom did to that city. They don't want to live what Gavin Newsom has done to California. And it's a sad thing because I have family in California. I have an uncle that lives in Los Angeles County, and I hear from him constantly how when he moved out there in the 70s, it was paradise to what it is now. It's not. He misses the California of his youth. He misses the California of when you could be a middle-class blue-collar worker and actually support a family, where you could actually walk your streets and not be afraid of being a victim of a crime, where you could afford to live. That's not the case anymore. That's not the American dream. The American dream is the ability for anyone to be able to succeed anywhere and enjoy peace and prosperity. But that's not happening in California. That is happening in Florida, though. And there's a reason why our population keeps growing, why everyone keeps moving here.
Yeah, you know, I just, what really is perplexing to me is that, oh, you know, I guess no offense to your relatives that live in California, but what's the matter with these people in California that chose Gavin Newsom to be their governor? I mean, he really represents everything that's wrong with America. And to think that he could potentially be the candidate that slides in when Joe Biden bows out, which is what many are predicting is going to happen.
Well, our founding fathers established a system of government in which our government is representative of the people. And that, I think, is an issue that we need to have a long, hard discussion as Americans amongst ourselves, our family and friends, come to the conclusion that government is not the disease, it is a symptom. The actual disease is the American electorate. They need to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and politically educate themselves and get through their heads that elected officials work for them. We don't work for elected officials. We send them to office to work for on our behalf. But that has changed within the last century or so. And a lot of Americans are complacent. They're politically apathetic. They just don't care. And that breeds this level of corruption that we're seeing today. Because it comes down to something very simple. Government is like fire. It is a cruel mistress. You are, it's necessary, but if you don't control it, it could burn your house down. And that happens through apathy. And a lot of people have just gotten to the point of like, I don't care. I'm not going to vote. Or it's just, what's the point? The American people need to get politically involved. And I know this because I have seen it across the country. America isn't a geographical idea. It's a spiritual idea. It is a burning, yearning want of freedom in everyone's heart. And I see that in California. I see it in New York. I see it in Washington, D.C. I see it in Florida. I see it in Texas. I see it everywhere. And I know that there are good, honest people in California that want to right their state and make it once again the envy of the rest of the country. You know, the saying used to be, as California goes, so goes the country. And there are good people in California. There's a reason why there's good people in California, because guess what? They're all like us. They're Americans. And our national motto says it very simple. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Together, all of us could make our country better. But that means getting rid of people like Gavin Newsom from office.
Luis Valdez, national spokesman for Gun Owners of America. So you're a resident of Florida, citizen of Florida. What do you think? Are you, do you think that Ron DeSantis has a chance to pull this off?
Well, the race ain't over till it's over. And in the end, it's an interesting race. There, you know, it just comes down to this. It's early to tell on where things are going. But I think ultimately the American people will make the right decision for who will be the right candidate to right the ship. Because currently under the Biden administration, there's problems. No ifs, ands, or buts. The assaults on the Second Amendment by the Biden administration is treasonous, especially after the Bruin decision. Again, Bruin decision is paramount because it said text, history, and tradition. The Second Amendment is an inalienable right, and any gun law that exists today, if it didn't have something analogous to it in 1791, that it shouldn't exist today. And the only thing that federal officials have been able to pull up to fight for their stance on gun control in the courts is racist gun law. You literally have federal officials saying, well, yeah, we had a gun ban back in the 1820s, 1830s. Yeah, it was to specifically disarm freed blacks. I'm sorry, that's not the idea of liberty and freedom. That's literally the government admitting that the entire purpose of gun control is to oppress segments of society. And as a minority myself, no, It don't work that way. We're all Americans. It doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're Hispanic, Asian. I don't care what your religious preference is. You have certain inalienable rights. You have the right to keep and bear arms. You have the right to freedom of speech. You have the right to freedom of religion. You have the right to be secure on your person. You have the right to not self-incriminate. And all those rights are tantamount, and they're joined at the hip, because if we don't have a Second Amendment, we can't protect any of those other rights. So again, the idea of the federal government even admitting in court that the only historical examples of gun control they could pull up were laws specifically designed to disarm freed blacks shows that gun control is evil.
Luis Valdez, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. What's the website of Gun Owners for America, or Gun Owners of America?
It's real simple. It's gunowners.org. And if your listeners want to join, it's just $25 a month, or $25 a year. Wow. And I can tell you this, I've spent more than $25 at a Burger King drive through. So $25 a year to be a GOA member, every penny goes towards this 2A fight. And we can't do it without good people like you and your listeners. So again, thank you.
Thank you for joining me this morning. Keep up the great work. I look forward to our next conversation. Please stay in touch. Hope you have a great day.
Definitely. Same here.
Thanks, Luis. Going to the 930 News, followed by your calls on the other side, 715-845-2155 on the Meg Ellefson Show on WSAU.